Everyone experienced in some way the loss of Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds, last month within hours of each other. Whether you were coming out of Star Wars Rogue One, where Fisher had a cameo and discovered what happened, whether you were listening to Singin' in the Rain over the holidays, whether you followed it on the news, the collapse of Carrie Fisher on the plane, the coma, and then death, followed by her mother's quiet end with a fatal stroke. The lives of these two women were remarkable, Hollywood legends both in different ways and different generations, bound together as loving mother and daughter. And all this comes through in a film like no other. It's a documentary that's intimate, universal, and because Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds are part of us, this film is also a part of our memories. Bright Lights, premiering on HBO tomorrow night, was rushed to the screen because of the tragedy that happened over Christmas. But that tragedy can't overwhelm the joy and wonder of this portrait of a daughter and her mom. Fisher Stevens is the director of Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. He calls it a Hollywood love story.
We didn't want to make a biopic for sure because there's so many things about Carrie and Debbie.
Celebrity stuff.
No.
Just didn't interest you.
No. But what did interest us was the personalities and the clear love but strange relationship. So we wanted to explore the relationship.
The mother-daughter thing.
I'm going to go help my mother pack. My mother is performing a show in Connecticut. I tried to stop her, but that is like throwing yourself in front of a, what are those called? Not tiramisus. Tsunami. See, she's Tsumami. And I threw myself in front of Tsumami and it didn't work. She loves doing it when she's doing it, but afterwards she was laying on the floor. So, but in a good, dignified movie star way.
What evidence did you see of the possible frustration between these two, mother-daughter? Carrie is a, you know, formidable character, and a rebellious teen just begins to describe her.
Yeah, well, that was part of our intrigue, was that these two women had such big personalities and are so strong-willed. I mean, Debbie is no, you know, pushover by any means. So we had the other thing was, I think that they were at a very good point in their relationship. Debbie and Carrie were really close at this point, and they'd been up through their ups and downs. And Carrie wanted to make this film because she was so enamored with her mother, obviously, and wanted the world to understand the greatness of Debbie. And Debbie didn't want us following her with a camera at all, but she was doing it because her daughter asked her to do it.
Everything in me demands that my mother be as she always was, even if that way is irritating. She just can't change. That's the rule.
We didn't know where it was going, but we knew we had something. And when I and Lexi and I filmed her, Debbie performing and watching her struggling to get her toes in her stockings and having her assistant bend down on his knees and straightening her toes to fit in these high heels that she had to get on stage with. And then as soon as she got on the stage, she changed her personality completely and became, "Hello, everybody." And the audience applauded and she just lit up and immediately was just like this different, this performer.
Here we go. I hear the curtain. Start over again. Maybe something will come out. I hear the cottonwoods whispering above.
And what was it like to see Carrie watch that miracle?
Well, Carrie was still enamored with that. Carrie was still blown away by the fact that her mother at this age was still doing it. And, you know, there's a moment in the movie where Carrie joins her mother on stage to sing. And, you know, you see Carrie's preparation is putting a Coke in a glass and just running backstage and then just entering stage with the Coca-Cola and singing. You know, Debbie's preparation is, you know, getting the voice in shape, moving her body around. And you see the difference in the two. Wow. So that was quite special. But what we didn't expect was that Debbie's health took quite a sharp turn for the worse while we were filming.
And she was the fragile one in all of this.
All of it. And the movie started to become about Carrie worrying about her mother and feeling guilty for going to London to do Star Wars while her mother's health turned for the worse right before Carrie had to go to London to do Star Wars 7. And there was a lot of guilt that Carrie was leaving. And And so the movie took this other turn that we didn't expect. And there's a, you know, obviously there's a section in the film where it becomes about, like, is my mom going to be okay? And of course, because Debbie Reynolds is unsinkable, she comes back and does another nightclub act, even after she basically had a little stroke. So the movie started writing itself in that sense. But no, we, you know, we never would have thought that what happened in the end was going to be the outcome.
You know, these are two of the toughest people in the toughest business that there is.
Mm.
It sounds like you felt all the way along a sense of deep tenderness from both of them.
Yeah, I think what was surprising to Lexi and myself was we thought they were really interesting, and that was what attracted us initially. But what we turned into was a love story, because I think Lexi and I started to really fall in love with these two women. The more time we spent with them, the more we realized how much they loved each other and how much we loved them. I mean, Carrie is so lovable. I mean, she can be completely frustrating, but that makes her more complex and more interesting. And Debbie, you know, can be tough and all of that, but there's a loving quality to Debbie that you just, you fall madly in love with them. And I didn't expect that.
Well, I worry what the show costs you. That's all. I know you like to do it.
I have caught up with a few people in age. Whoa.
But they're in bed and you're doing a show.
I mean, like George Burns says, I'm going to stay on stage until I drop dead, and then I'm going to have myself stuffed like Trigger, and then I'll put me in a museum.
That's nice.
For two generations, these faces are imprinted on our entertainment history, all of our memories. I mean, particularly with the Star Wars memories. I mean, Carrie Fisher is alive today, regardless of what happened, whatever the tragedy is. Debbie Reynolds, for a generation, is also no different. What is that like to be in the center of? Did you get any inkling of? They both are aware of their towering kind of presence in the world of American entertainment.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also informed their personalities, obviously, so to speak, because Debbie was 19 when she did Singing in the Rain and became a movie star, and she started to cultivate this personality and was obsessed with movie stars. You know, she looked so up to Cary Grants and wanted to be with them, but always was a fan of theirs, even up, you know, even to the end, you know. And then Carrie trying to define who Carrie was, because she needed the attention of her mother, because her mother, she felt she shared with everybody when she was little, because there were so many fans always around, and her father having left the family and abandoned her, she had to kind of, so she cultivated this personality and was always brilliant. I mean, there's a clip in the film where she's 15 years old and she gets on stage and sings Bridge Over Troubled Waters in her mother's nightclub act and just blows people's minds.
Come on, sing it for your old mother.
When you're weary, feeling small.
She had this incredible singing voice, which she decided not to do really anything with professionally.
Your eyes, I will drive them.
So she really took this she made this choice. I'm going to be funny. I'm going to be witty because I have it. And that's what's going to get me through. And then got this movie at 19, which she thought was going to basically be kind of maybe a, you know, interesting kind of
five minutes movie.
Yeah. Right. And it just, like, it's so bizarre, that element that they were both 19 and they both hit this huge stardom. And as they both like to say, then we both married short Jewish men. Singers.
That's amazing.
But they're a force, and you feel that force when you're with either one. The thing Lexi always would say is that they're these two incredible individuals, and they have their own beautiful light and their own stardom, but you put them together and it's just like explosive. And that was kind of what we were discovering as we went along.
What's a mother and daughter to take from this film? You know, I mean, we're not celebrities, but there's such a power here.
Well, what I wanted, what we felt when we started screening the film, because we got into a lot of film festivals and a lot of people have seen it before this all went down. And what the takeaway was, was that this doesn't matter that Carrie and Debbie are famous and from Hollywood. It's a love story about a mother and a daughter. Any mother and daughter can relate to it, and son, because Todd Fisher plays a big role in the film. Sure. And that it's a story that we can all relate to because, you know, our mothers get old, our daughters have issues with whatever it is.
Become a caregiver.
And I think that was another thing that we realized as we were filming, that this is universal. This isn't just because they're Hollywood, you know, living in this rarefied air. No, this is – everyone can relate to it. So that I'm hoping that people see this film and start to want to communicate with their parents or get that stuff out. And the beauty of Carrie and Debbie was that they really did work out their stuff.
How did you hear about Carrie Fisher's decline?
Well, Lexi and I were in South Africa on vacation, and so it's quite a time difference from Los Angeles. I happened to be up. It was like 1 in the morning. It was just like so shocking. And at one point, it seemed like, okay, well, maybe she's Carrie. She's going to come back. And, you know, she was in a coma for a while. And then a bunch of our friends went to see her in California. And, she couldn't hold on. And then we went to sleep and then woke up the next morning. And Debbie, it was just weird. It still feels very weird and like you're going to get on the phone or see Carrie. And, you know, I can't watch the film, you know. Uh-huh. But and Lexi tried with her parents and she couldn't.
As sad as it is, and, you know, we all experience just, oh, my God, and then, oh, my God. Mm. But there's an element of Hollywood in this.
I know, it's really...
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that all about?
I don't know, and, you know, there's a big theme in our film is Christmas, because Carrie and Debbie have Christmas trees in their house all year round, both of them, and... Carrie says in the movie, you know, I love Christmas, you know, and we cut to the tree and so, I don't know, then the whole thing happened, you know, over the Christmas break and I don't, it's just the whole thing is surreal, but.
They wrote their ending.
They sort of did.
Thank you so much. And, you know, having had such a wonderful close seat to an amazing, amazing show. Mm. Of two remarkable women. Thanks for bringing it to us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, and they will live on.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.